I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
714, you know, when you juxtapose the cowardice in politics versus the heroism we've been seeing, especially lately, every day, the kid in North Carolina who runs at the gunman, 21-year-old, dies, saves who knows how many lives. Yesterday in Colorado, kids at this charter school helped stop and take down two gunmen so the police could get there and intervene. So let's talk some heroes here, shall we? I have two in studio, Navy SEALs. And there's an event tonight for an organization I'm very fond of to help promote the idea that we should take these Navy SEALs when they come home and help lead them to new careers, new jobs for the benefit of all of us. So let me welcome two guys named Rob. Rob, introduce yourself from your grateful nation.
So, hey, good morning, Steve. And my name is Rob Carella, and I was fortunate to actually be a Green Beret and get to know some of these great SEALs and other folks that fought in defense of the country. So I would like to introduce the actual hero here, which is not me, but
my friend Rob. As opposed to these soft Green Berets, right?
Nothing but love for the Green Berets, obviously. And that's what we do. You're a grateful nation, transitioning veterans to the private sector. And once we started expanding a little bit, we needed to bring a Green Beret officer in to actually run the show because I didn't know what was
happening. Yeah.
No, just some organizational stuff. So it's we're transitioning special operators. So Rangers, Green Berets, Navy SEALs, who have the best hair. And
careful with the hair jokes. I mean, I know you could kill me with your bare hands, but don't think I won't come over there if you keep this up. Rob O'Neill is with or without his permission, has become a very famous guy because you're the guy that ended Bin Laden. We've talked about it on the show. We'll talk about it again here. But this is a project that fills you with great pride because this is something we've needed for a long time. And this is the ultimate sweat equity because we take these special operators who come back and we say, you're going to be a part of this. We're not handing you a job. We're teaching you how to get and keep the job and make America a better place. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's a fair assessment, too. And you know, we've been at war. This is the longest war in American history that we're doing over there. And a lot of these men and women don't want to go back to war, but that's all they understand is how to go to war. They don't want to fill out a resume or you know, what to wear to a job interview. And I talked to some of these guys, too, and they said, well, all I know how to do is go into a room and shoot a bunch of people. And I'm like, yeah, and you're really good at that. Mm-hmm. But
limited income opportunities, though, outside of war. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not always the customer is always wrong. just the team building, the loyalty, working together, stress management, all that stuff. And they can bring in a lot of these people that are hiring. They're getting people that you can't teach this kind of thing in college. They people coming out of college aren't getting these, don't have these skills, and some of the men and women that we provide do have them. And
no question. So how long are you guys special operators on your own right? Green Beret, how long?
So I did almost 27 years.
27 years. Rob O'Neill?
Almost 17.
Okay, that's a lot of experience to just go, hey, thanks, fellas. We really appreciate what you did. Mary?
How much of it is, I know there's a transition to employers to say like how these skills actually could apply mm-hmm. to a million other different positions mm-hmm. in civilian life. Mm-hmm. But do you have to talk the officers into the fact that they have these skills? Like, do you have to say, hey, you can do this?
Well, it's a great question. And it is one, and it varies by person, right? And one of the things that I find most fascinating is to deal with them and each individual person. It is interesting that the younger guys, the guys that have done 10 to 12 years and maybe a couple of trips, they are absolutely fearless. And they are completely capable of walking in to, you know, Jamie Dimon's office and saying, hey, I would be a great investment banker. I'm ready to roll right this minute.
Right.
Versus some of the guys who have, you know, multiple master's degrees, have run organizations in excess of 5,000 people and budgets in excess of $250 million.
Yeah, but Rob, you and I have talked about this. You get north of 15 years, you got family, you, in all likelihood, you've got a wife, you've got maybe kids that are home or back home, and you start to appreciate the big picture side of this.
Right.
And maybe you don't come in, because the ego involved in this has to be huge. Rob O'Neill, you can speak to this. You better be self-
Why are you looking at me when you say ego?
Well, because you better be confident if you're going to go into
you should be,
you got to count on your guys you're with, but you also got to count on you. Now, but the negative side of that, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, as you come back, you could walk into an employer like you described and go, yeah, minimal training. Let's start. When am I in? Monday? Where's my desk? That's the type of thing you might have to teach special operators, that that's not the way to roll when you take a new job.
And we do, Steve, spend a lot of time on the very front end of our program working with them to, so that they can understand where their value lies in the private sector, so that that can establish this sort of foundation for all future interactions. What we believe, and Rob's a great example, is that the talent that evolves into the special operations community is commensurate with the highest level of talents anywhere in the private
sure.
sector. And so what we do is help them make that transition so that they understand their value, number one, and number two, they are able to get into like situations with other high-performing companies where they can really sort of, you know, fit.
You have an event tonight. Can you still get into it?
Actually, we now have one seat available. So,
Sadly, I will not be able to attend. Our friend Harry Tynowitz lost his dad, and there's services tonight, so I'll be attending those. I know you understand that. But there is one chair.
One chair remaining.
One chair for my flat behind, and you can, you'll be able to get that. But I also want to know, there's a lot of big shot business types going in right now. Didn't even know
Absolutely.
This was available.
Right.
Didn't even know you would have an opportunity to do the right thing and take special operators in, teach them this business, and get that experience as a benefit to your company and beyond. So what do those people do? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, so the best way for us, Steve, is to actually use our website, because it allows us to sort of capture all their contact data. So if they go to yourgratefulnation.org or ygn.org, they can certainly look at the event tonight, but also they can look at what we do and what we are specifically interested in terms of mentors and connectors and folks like that. It comes as no surprise. Chicago is a huge market and has lots and lots of opportunity.
And this is a very young organization. We're just That's building right. this thing now and figuring it out as you go, and you guys have done a wonderful job. Rob O'Neill, why does this matter to you?
It matters to me because the best email that I see hopefully once a week or twice a week is when a spouse of one of the veterans says that we're able to get a second career because of Your Grateful Nation. Because a lot of us, you know, we go to war for 20 years, and then but we signed a 30-year mortgage,
sure.
and you got to keep the lights on, pay for your kids. But just hearing that a second career is available and YGN, Your Grateful Nation, was able to do it, it's totally worth it. Because I got out at 17 years, and I knew I wouldn't get a pension. But, you know, what do I do now? I mean, I'm going to go out and sell hats or something. I have no idea.
That's a good hat.
It's a nice hat, isn't it? They're available at robertjoneal.com, by the way.
I want to talk to you about what you're doing in the big picture as well. Obviously, I want to talk about the book and about your life. Because people, I think, are thrilled to know that you're okay, you're here, and you're moving on with your life by giving back this way. But also, they want to know how you're doing.
Yeah, I'm good. I wrote a book that was the first one about the missions that I was a part of, the rescuing the lone survivor, Margaret Sattrell, rescuing Captain Richard Phillips, killing Osama bin Laden.
Turned into a movie with Mark Wahlberg. Of course, I did all the stunts. Right?
but the book that I wrote, though, is what's unique about it is I always tell people that I could be on the cover of Decent Shape magazine, like a normal dude. I got tricked into joining the Navy.
You're a little short of dad bod, my friend.
But I joined the Navy on accident because I got dumped by a girl. But the proof is, it doesn't matter what you look like or where you're from, you can do anything you want if you keep a positive attitude. And I was able to become a Navy SEAL simply because I didn't listen to the negativity. I always tell people, don't check Twitter till at least after 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Don't start the day off with a frown on your face. And you know, one meal at a time. I tell my kids, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And you can do anything you want. Doesn't matter where you're from.
That's your core value. Your core value is that.
Well, positivity. I mean,
positivity.
The negativity, it'll get you nowhere.
What's the book called?
The Operator.
I want to come back, talk about that and other things. And, of course, remind remind people, YGN.org, 24/7. There's a million ways you can help, and it's the least we can do for the people that have protected us. Don't count on the politicians doing it. Got to do it ourselves.
Rob O'Neill had 1 year of college under his belt, a job delivering pizzas, and only a basic grasp of swimming when a recruiter convinced him to enlist and become a Navy SEAL. By January 1996, after 5 months of intensive swim training, Rob found himself in Great Lakes, Illinois, for Navy boot camp. But boot camp was nothing compared to what came next. BUDS, or Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL Training, puts recruits through some of the most grueling physical punishment anyone can endure.
More on your Grateful Nation in a moment here, and Rob O'Neill is the co-founder of your Grateful Nation. Doing their part to make sure support, guidance, and a roadmap from the battlefield to the boardroom is set. And you can help as well. Again, YGN.org is a great place to start. Rob O'Neill, 2 Silver Stars, 4 Bronze Stars with Valor, a Joint Service Commendation Medal with Valor, 3 Presidential Unit Citations, 2 Navy Marine Corps Commendations with Valor. It goes on and on and on. It's an honor to have you here. Really,
thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
The book is called The Operator. You lay out not just that night in Abbottabad, but you talk about your career and your life and some of the folks you served with and different things. Out and available everywhere. Get 3 copies, not just 2. You'll lose one, and the other one you might misplace, and I want to make sure you sell as many books as possible. There's also a website where people can keep up to you, book you for speaking, different things. What's that website?
RobertJOneill.com.
That's where you can get that hat, too, right?
That's very true. And the shirt that Shorty's wearing over there.
It's a really good hat. You think you would have brought me one, but, you know, we got to catch up.
Okay, well, that gives me a reason to come back. he stole the double extra large.
Yeah, well, how do you know I need a double XL? I could be
you
a petite.
Look amazing.
I could be a petite from this angle. Rob O'Neill, you are, as I said, whether you want to be or not, famous for doing something that will change the world. You you and a group of incredibly brave men on that night in Abbottabad went into that compound. You were up the stairs. You were in the room. And you took out Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, but I was able to get there because of the other special operators that were in front of me. The only reason I went right is because the guy in front of me went left. The only reason we got out of the helicopters is because the air crewman knew how to open it. The only reason we got there was because the pilots knew how to fly it. The only reason we knew to go to Abbottabad is because of the intel analysts that found bin Laden. And it's such a big team effort. And I'm a guy that turned a corner.
So the choreography of that is you can't have a successful mission, big or small, without it.
Yeah, it's an entire team thing. It's it was so many. That was like one, I think, of 13 missions that night. We got Rangers, Green Berets, Marines, SEALs going out that night. We had Rangers behind us. We had SEALs behind us. We had the helicopters flying. You know, we had Air Force pilots convincing the Pakistani pilots not to come after us.
Sure.
So it's a huge team effort all the way up to the president.
Now, having said that, this one's different. This is bin Laden. I don't know where you were.
This was different simply because we proved as a nation that if you're bad enough, we have the people that will come find you.
No matter how long it takes.
We'll do it. And we'll do it again. It's not like it's going to stop.
Where were you on 9/11?
I was in Germany. I was at there was a special warfare unit in Germany, and I just finished a round in Kosovo.
We don't have anywhere near the time to go through the missions you served between 9/11 and that night in Abbottabad. Mm-hmm. But on that night, no matter how much you lock in to what you need to do, all the training comes back. It had to feel different. How do you stay in your particular game face?
Well, it was simply different because we accepted death. We're here for that reason. It's one of those things, like, even though we know we're going to die, if you could give 50 years from now on your deathbed every single day between now and then to do it, will you do it? And the answer is yes. And it was never going to be us. It was going to be the Green Berets. It was going to be our Army counterparts. It was never supposed to be Navy SEALs.
None of us are going to understand that mindset because we're not going to do it. So for the rest of us trying to wrap our heads around what you guys did, what you did, what you accomplished that night, you can't go in thinking I'm going to die, can you?
No, we did. Yeah,
Are you saying you have to go in thinking that? No.
That was the only mission where I thought we were going to die because we didn't know if the technology worked. We did trust the pilots enough because the pilots, and I think Rob will agree with me, they're the smartest people in the room, and they're going to fly us low and they're going to get us in there. But, like, we don't know if this stuff works, and we'll get shot down. But even on the flight in, it's like, We might get shot down. We might get blown up. But me worrying about that right now is not going to help. I accept it. But why am I wasting my energy?
And the whole thing is less than 30 minutes, right? Well, from the time the chopper crashes?
34 minutes. We were on there for 47 minutes because there was so much stuff going on inside.
And the house is reinforced. You have charges on one of the doors to get
in.
Yeah,
we were doing everything escalating force, mechanical breaching, explosive breaching. And because of where we landed outside, and the other helicopter crashed, it crashed, landed. The pilot saved him. I had the front row seat to the greatest mission in modern history. So I watched cool guys do cool stuff. That's all that was it.
And I just, what a great slogan.
Yeah.
Navy SEALs watching cool guys do cool stuff.
You can get one of those shirts at Robert J. O'Neill.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So here's the deal. You go in, you're expecting, I would assume, because you have to, you're expecting maximum force on their side as pushback.
Well, by the time I got in there, my guys had already killed four of them.
Okay.
And then we knew we'd run into, three of them. And we knew we'd run into Khalid bin Laden on the stairs. And my
guys
handled it.
That's his son.
Yeah. And he was 20 years old and armed. We knew. And the intel analyst told us where he would be. And
he being bin Laden.
No, he being Khalid.
Okay. And you don't know where Osama bin Laden is?
No, no. We knew he'd be up there. The woman that found bin Laden told us he'd be up there. She was so cool. She said, if you can ace Khalid on the stairs, you get a shot at the big guy. That's how cool this one was.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, I really got to get up there.
Wow.
But then when it got to that point, we're going up the final set of stairs, knowing that bin Laden was a suicide bomber, the guy in front of me was probably brave. I wasn't. I was thinking, let's just get it over with. Let's go.
One way or another.
Yeah, we're going to blow up. I'm going to find out what that tastes like.
Is the story we've heard accurate, that one of the three wives or two of the three wives, whoever was in the room, was tackled by one of your guys?
Yeah, the guy in front of me tackled, I think, two of them.
Not knowing if she was...
Well, he thought they were suicide bombers, and so I watched a guy jump on a grenade that didn't go off. And how this guy doesn't have a Medal of Honor is beyond me. Like I said, he was brave. I just turned because he went a different way.
And then instinct kicks in, and you fire the shots.
No, it was just training. Tactics. This is how we do it. I turned, and I saw him, and he wasn't surrendering, and he's a threat to everybody. And basically, Osama bin Laden had a second to convince me not to kill him, and he didn't.
Does it say anything about the level of cowardice that goes to any demonic leader that he didn't fight back harder or he wasn't?
I don't know what he was thinking. And a lot of these high level guys don't fight. They
let other people do that.
Yeah, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, who's a mastermind of 9/11, he was like saying that the reason he doesn't blow himself up because the more people he convinces to martyr themselves, he gets more in heaven.
Glory.
It's like Amway for Allah or something.
pyramid scheme.
The worst pyramid scheme ever. All right. I want to take a break. I want to come back. Listen, we'll talk more on the podcast because I could talk to you for hours. But I want to come back, Mitt, talk a little bit more about YGN and get these other guys in if they have a question as well and hit a couple of
cultures. I have a domestic question. So.
All right. Stand by for that.
I'll be here.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
It's YGN.org, your grateful nation, support and guidance and a roadmap to help our returning special operators get the jobs that we need them to get with all the skill sets that they have. We'll talk more about that in just a second and tell you how you can help. Rob O'Neill, the operator, is the book. I'm going to give these guys any for questions, and then there's a great question that's coming up again and again on text. Mark Carmen.
Rob, I see we're normalizing this. None of this feels like remotely normal to me. When you... walk, you actually see him, and he's right in front of you.
Him being bin Laden.
I'm assuming your eyes pop out of your head or something. He is.
His eyes popped out of his head.
But that's the training, right? That's the training?
No, he was taller, skinnier, older than I thought. And he was just a threat, and he's a threat to my team. He's a threat to me. And the way he was not surrendering. And... he was such a high-value target and a high-risk target that we had that second to make the decision. And you know, I've heard criticism about why to shoot him in the face. I've dealt with suicide bombers before, and he's a suicide bomber. And you don't shoot him in the chest because it takes people a lot longer to die in real life than in the movies. And the way you handle a suicide bomber, shoot him in the face. And that's just the way it went down. It didn't hit me until... after I moved his wife and then moved his young two-year-old son. And when I saw his two-year-old son, I remember thinking, those poor kids got nothing to do with this. And as a father, and I saw this, you know, but there's a human element to taking a person's life. And he was another guy that I shot in front of his family. It's like that's something you deal with. He's a horrible person, but he's a person.
But right. The training itself is what has to kick in at that point, because you don't have time to wait call my attorney.
No. He wasn't the first guy I killed, and he wasn't the last guy I killed. It's a thing that happens overseas, and we've all been through it. And it, you know, turn the corner, he's a threat, engage.
Sandberg.
So you have all these skills that you've learned for all these big things like killing people, but they're all going to translate into the corporate world here in the States. But I want to know about some domestic things that you may have learned that you use at home. I have these fantasies of these guys in the service being great bed makers. Is that the case?
I think you're 100% correct on that.
Okay, that's a...
Mostly because you're afraid of your commanding officer, your wife.
No. One of the a piece of advice that I give to people is the first thing you do in the morning is make your bed the right way, that we were taught. Because no matter how bad your day goes, tonight when you get back into bed, it's a clean slate. I talk to NFL teams, college football teams all the time, and I'll tell them, now that it's 2nd and 15, it doesn't matter how we got here. We're just here. Get on with it. Get right. over it.
Do the job. John DeCos.
You know, you're talking about this as the training, and it was a job, and it was that moment. But how did that affect you afterwards? Did you think about this? Did it hit you at any point later on?
No, an adrenaline rush.
It hit me about 5 seconds later.
Okay.
When I heard Osama bin Laden taking his last breath, and I saw his tongue sticking out, and he was exhaling. And one of my guys came up to me, and he said, "Are you?" Because other Navy SEALs are in the room at this point. I went in there basically alone. Other Navy SEALs are in there, and one of my guys said, "Are you good?" And I said, "No. What do we do now?" And he said, "Well, now we go find the computers. We do this every single night, hundreds and hundreds of times." And I was like, "Oh, you're right. I'm back. Oh, my God." And he goes, "Yeah, you just killed Osama bin Laden. Your life just changed. Let's get to work."
And then you guys went down and got all the data you thought you could possibly
get. Yeah, we found everything we could. If Pakistan was our true ally, we would have stayed there for a week.
And by the way,
so much stuff there.
They weren't, they aren't, and they're not going to be.
No, they never will be.
Anytime soon. All right, before we run out of time, and again, you're going to come back and do the podcast
absolutely.
In the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure people understand how much YGN means to you. YGN.org. Rob O'Neill, co-founder, Green Berets Finest. Rob Carilla, what is your title, Mr. Fancy Pants there at YGN?
I think you nailed it.
Mr. Fancy
Pants?
So
Fancy Pants is a great one, sure. Actually, I am the executive director of the company, but essentially I work now for Rob O'Neill and 13 other directors, that includes Don Crosby, a sort of famous Chicagoite.
Tremendous businessman and a great guy. All right, so here's the thing that I think people need to understand is when special operators come home, they don't all live the life that SEAL Team 6 led.
Right.
Special operators are trained in a million different ways, skills that could be adapted to any company. And we want to take these guys, these men and these women, when they come home, and get them to segue into jobs that will benefit everybody. But I would be curious, how do you go from SEAL Team 6 and dialing it down to sitting around in a meeting, as Don Crosby's done for his entire business life, and not nodding off because some nincompoop is talking too long? You know, it's a different world. It's a different level of excitement and a different level of win.
Well, so it's a great question, because I think it reflects what I hear all across America. And in no way am I lessening Rob O'Neill and what he has done for America. But every day we have 46 of these guys in our program. And they may not have been the guys standing on the red X on that day in the history of America. And that's a special thing. However, these guys are of the same quality and talents that Rob has. But they don't have this.
It's just a different story.
That's right. It's a different story. And so what we do is we help them write their own story and then move towards fulfilling that story. And in some cases, it means being the CEO of a company in Albany, New York. It might be being a consultant here in Chicago with Accenture. It might be as a, you know, state college president down in Georgia.
And by the way, whether or not these operators have particular dreams they want to chase, their skill set will be matched to something that works for them. That's part of the deal, as you find out who they are and where they'll fit best.
Right.
What does it cost them?
Well, so it costs...
I mean, special operators aren't coming home with a bunch of money.
No, they're not. And you know, they do the special operations mission for a reason that goes far beyond a paycheck or, yeah. or compensation. In many cases, they either begin or they learn that the obligation is for America. Now, when they leave, we have to convince them that now they need to start looking out for themselves as well.
But if they're saying, I don't have the tuition to pay YGN to get in, that's because the companies are the folks that are going to sponsor these guys through, yes?
Yeah, yeah. Great point. So it costs us approximately $9,000 per person to run them from start to finish, which is generally 8 months. Right. And what we see and what we would encourage your listeners to consider is partnering with us to sponsor these guys. And so right now, again, we have 46 guys in the program, and we constantly see companies and individuals and groups of individuals that get together and say, hey, we want to sponsor a Rob O'Neill type. And so we can help them do that and make their contribution to these guys that way.
And again, it's not just for the special operator. It's for the company's benefit and therefore for all of our benefit. YGN.org. There's an event tonight that is sold out, but not for one chair. And you can donate online. You can find out you could help online. Heck, you could host another event at some point. But for everybody that's going to get a chance to sit down with you and Rob tonight and listen to Rob talk and ask questions, I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime shot. It's pretty special. And it's just one of the things that YGN can do. So how do they get a hold of you?
Right. So they can go to YGN.org.
Can donate right there,
they
too?
They can do it right there. There's a big, fat donate button that anyone can find. And it's like that on purpose.
And a new button just put up, Amway for Allah.
Exactly. The one thing I will sort of add is that in addition to being able to spend three quality hours with Rob O'Neill, we're also going to have an Air Force pararescue guy. We're going to have a Ranger Regiment commander, and we're going to have a Special Forces guy out of the 10th Special Forces Group.
Pretty special, man.
So, yeah, in addition to Rob, we have the joint community of special operators here in Chicago tonight, and it's really going to be a special night.
YourGratefulNation.org, RobertJOneill.com.
That's correct.
And again, Rob will join me for the podcast very soon. And it's great to have you in live. We've talked on the phone many times.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to meet you in person.
I've been asking to get in here, and then finally.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of people. but thanks for coming. We really appreciate it. And obviously, Rob, thanks for what you and Don and everybody at YGN are doing every day.
It is a pleasure, and thank you so much.
Have a great night tonight.